Don't allow the trap of sin to bind you and keep you from the truth of God's Word. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Dennis Burke explore the different ways the enemy tries to separate the believer from their victory in Christ.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for your Word today. We open our hearts, we open our eyes, and we open our minds and ears for revelation from heaven. And we thank you for it, and we give you the praise and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Brother Dennis?
Yes, sir.
Let's get back in here where we were yesterday, talking about the righteous shall live by faith.
The righteous shall live by faith.
It's that you notice in the full armor of God, the breastplate is righteousness.
Yes, that's what Ephesians says.
Now, Jesus said, on this rock, he's talking about Revelation, on this rock of Revelation, I'll build my church. Now, when you notice that armor, it's talking about a revelation of salvation, a revelation of righteousness, a revelation of the Word as being a weapon, the revelation of the shield being faith and so forth. But look at the major part of that armor.
Yeah. Protects the core of your whole being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It all...
Keeps your heart.
It all starts here.
It all starts
and
here.
And righteousness is the breastplate of the thing. It is so vital.
Absolutely. And it's been ignored a lot of times in teaching just because it's been looked at as only dealing with behavior, the way a person acts, that they act righteous or that they do that righteous things.
It's all balled up in religion.
Yeah.
The only time anybody ever uses the word righteous is in church.
That's the truth.
And it literally...
It doesn't mean anything outside of church to anybody.
And people use it all the time, but they just don't put the O-U-N-E-S-S on the end of it. It being right. Mm-hmm. It's either right or wrong. And God and His way of being right about everything. He is right the first time.
About every single thing.
About everything.
Never wrong.
Never wrong. There's no wrong in Him.
Yeah.
So if something is... zero wrong. If you had a car engine, zero wrong, and you do the exact maintenance on that thing, it ought to run indefinitely.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing there to break it. Now you introduce some dirt and you introduce some other earthly failure into that thing is going to take its toll on it.
It slows it down.
But the point is, what righteousness means is God's way of doing things and being zero wrong.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Now, that's what He's put into every single believer the moment they make Jesus Lord of their
life. We've been made the righteousness of God
in the
Spirit.
And religion and it has tried to tell us that now we're at the starting point to where we can finally become righteous if we just work at it hard enough.
And finally get good enough in His sight for Him to answer a few prayers.
Yes.
And maybe get past some of this horrible testing periods.
Yes.
And so where he just...
Going around the mountain so many times.
And man, there never has been a bigger lie told on the earth.
And yet, righteousness comes by faith, that zero wrong, I like that, that zero wrong that has been put on the inside of every believer. And it's done by faith. It's based on that finished work of what Jesus did. He accomplished the whole thing for us, paid the price, so that sin is actually been destroyed in our life. It has been dealt with. And so before God, when that sacrifice of Jesus was placed on that mercy seat in the heavenly holy of holies, it brought to every person who would believe the capacity to receive that zero wrong kind of life by faith in our inner man. Now look, that doesn't mean that instantly I'm doing everything right, but I have a place in God where there is that engine inside of me that can drive that rightness into all the different parts of my life.
And then it gives the rightness an opportunity to produce.
Yeah.
Because if you pay attention and be obedient to Him, then He will protect you and continue to treat you as if you had not sinned.
Yes.
Now, Abraham learned that.
Yes.
And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But yes. After the blood of Jesus was shed, praise God, we foul up, man, and mess up and all that kind of stuff. Don't just stay messed up. Repent. I mean, repent on the spot. And Lord, help me here. I receive my forgiveness. Now, notice there's a difference in, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And, oh, Lord, I receive my forgiveness
yes,
for that.
I am forgiven.
My forgiveness is in place.
Yeah.
The grace of God in this New Testament put it in place.
Put it in place.
Now, Father, I confess this thing. Now, what am I doing? I'm not informing Him of anything.
Right.
He already knows it. But I am informing the devil. I recognize this. I recognize this as disobedience. I recognize this as sin. And I call it what it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, yeah, Lord, I did that. Now, does that help God? No, it helps me.
It helps me. It's like getting that trash and dirt out of that zero wrong engine.
Yes, it is. It's exactly that.
Yeah.
It's exactly
that. You know, I did a study in Romans one time, a lot of years ago now, about this very kind of thing. And I wanted to study sin, you know, from what Romans said. Of course, that wasn't going to be a how-to. I already had that down.
You had that down. I did too.
But it was a study where I found out something really interesting. I found out that 47 times when the Apostle Paul uses the word sin, it's a noun. And only 7 times that he uses the word sin was it a verb. Now, here's what that meant to me, even with my limited English understanding of things. A noun is a place. And what Paul was dealing with the majority of the time when he talked about what Jesus did to destroy sin, he was talking about bringing a person out of the cage or the place of sin.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, every person finds himself in that cage. Every person. We find that all have sinned, fallen short. So they're in a cage of sin that they can't get out of, but it's got a door in it. And Jesus is that door. They can't do enough to get out of that cage. They can't perform enough right things to get out of that cage. But they can just walk through the door, which is Jesus.
Amen.
And step out of the place of sin. And at that point, when they're out of that cage or that place of sin, that's what Paul was talking about, they're in Christ. They're in that place of zero wrong. Christ is in them. They are in Christ. But now here's what I also saw in this. With 7 times there being a verb is an action. Mm-hmm. It's a behavior. There are behaviors, and here's what every Christian knows, that there are still some behaviors that don't look just like Jesus. And every person has them in one way or another. Some are more obvious than others, but every person has a few things that don't look like Jesus. Some people have a lot. But having some behaviors that are sin, they are not to be tolerated, they're not to be overlooked, but they don't throw me back in the cage. They don't throw me back into a place where I've been separated from God automatically.
That's right.
I am in a place in Christ that the moment I turn from the behavior, now I've cleaned the trash out once again, and that motor continues to run just as clean and just as pure as it was designed.
The big thing there, Dennis, Satan, condemnation, Never, ever changed anything. You can beat yourself over the head over something for 40 years and never change it. But one act of faith, you walk off from it.
And it's over.
But he brings shame with condemnation. And if you look at the pattern, he can't change the pattern of it. And you go back, look at what happened with Adam. The shame came on him, and he ran from God. Now, this is where Christian people get in trouble. Religious-minded, condemnation-minded instead of faith-minded, has the idea that, oh, man, you know, I thought I was free of the cigarettes, and I got up this morning, and I smoked two of them before I really even thought about it, man. And the devil come along and say, you might as well smoke a whole package now. You done screwed the thing plumb up.
Yeah, nothing's working for you now.
Nothing, And after all, God knows now you ain't worth nothing. You can't stand on the Word of God for 2 days.
Yeah, you're just a hypocrite.
Now, brother, think about it. You smoked one cigarette, and now you're figuring on smoking the whole pack and think, come on now. Now really, no. Don't run from God when you sin, run to Him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I don't feel like he loves me. Your feelings can't change God. He is love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
When you don't feel like He's there, when you don't feel like He loves you, that's when you run to Him, not from Him.
Yeah. If His love is unconditional.
That's it.
Then when we come to Him, we have already met the conditions,
if
we don't feel like we've met the conditions.
Yeah, just throw yourself in there.
Because it's unconditional.
It absolutely is.
So I can come into the presence of God, haven't smoked, which I haven't, but if I had, come into the presence of God and know that He is 100% for me, in love with me, and all that He wants is to help me get that condemnation, shame, and that trash out of the motor.
Absolutely.
That's all He wants.
Just absolutely true.
You know, this condemnation thing, I think, has been one of the very core root issues that has kept believers from feeling that the strength and confidence really walk it out in God.
Oh, it is. You know, shame. Think about how people use that without even thinking, well, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Listen, that is a horrible, that is in the same category with telling somebody just to go to hell. Hey, we don't have any right to tell somebody that. Well, we don't have any right to say shame on you.
Right.
He bore our shame. He carried our reproach.
Glory to God.
He was condemned so we could be made the righteousness of God.
We don't have to carry it any longer. Let me read this statement to you from Isaiah, because this is exactly what Isaiah said. Watch this. This is Isaiah 43. Oh. Now, I've heard you've preached on this a lot.
Oh, listen, I've lived on this.
I'm telling you, I have too.
Oh, yes.
But in verse 25, he says this. He said, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins.
I will. Now, you want to know God's will?
There it is. I'll not remember your sins.
Well,
so He's not bringing them up.
Now, Brother Dennis, he may be trying to teach me something out of it. No, He said, I will. That's His will right there.
The moment that I turn towards Him, sins in my life, sin has been eradicated. I am not any longer required to bear the burden, the weight, the penalty, the suffering, the sickness that might come because of it. All of that trash can cause a lot of trouble. The instant that I am delivered from sin in Christ, Satan has no right for there to be sickness in my body, for there to be a lack in my life. He has no right to me because I don't belong to His domain any longer.
Do you mean to tell me then, what you're saying to me then, as all those wild oats that you sowed before you got saved, you mean to tell me that they're not going to come back and haunt me in later years?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Man, I've heard that.
Yes, I have too.
Yeah, he's a good preacher and a good pastor and all of that, but, you know, he's had a hard time with sickness and so forth. He's a rascal before he got saved.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And your sins are, they'll find you.
They'll find you out, yes.
That's a lie from hell.
It's a lie from hell.
It's a lie from
hell. And think about this. Even after a person gets born again, and people that have continued to struggle with whatever they've struggled with, some continue to be angry, hateful, spiteful, or have some other issues going on in their life. And though they love the Lord and they go through this conflict, oh man, they go to church, they love Jesus, they cry tears as they worship, and they get in the car and they fight all the way home.
Yeah.
or whatever the situation is. Satan will come along and condemn that person and tell them they're just living a lie. That this isn't real, and that God really can't bless you and can't work in your life because of it. Now here's the lie. The lie is that God can't work in my life. Oh yes, He can. Now I can't continue on in that trash and think that the blessing of God is going to be freely working in my life. But there is a power inside of me.
Oh yeah.
There is an anointing inside of me, and the moment that I am before the Lord. Lord, I'm not, that is not me. What I just now said and did, that's not me. It's not who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been born of the Spirit of God. I am free from the condemnation of sin and the strength of it. And that instant, that power, that same anointing that can work in the greatest man or woman of God that's ever lived.
Amen.
That same anointing is alive within that person right that instant.
We've got to look at something here.
All right.
Let's go over to Joshua chapter 2. And notice here, when Joshua sent out the two men, he sent out a two-man patrol across the river, and let's look in verse 1. Joshua, son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy and so forth and so on. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Now, it makes a point of letting you know that Rahab's a harlot. She wasn't just kind of got room and board in bad company. No. It was her house, and mm-hmm. she was a harlot.
Yes.
So now, you come down here, and you kind of look at the 11th verse, the last half of that verse. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now, God delivered her and her family from that whole situation.
Yes, He did.
Now then, when you look in verse 25 of the 6th chapter, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household. She dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Mm-hmm. Now go over to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, which is the Faith Hall of Fame. I mean, everybody that is anybody in the Old Covenant is in this, in
yes,
this
sir.
Chapter. And notice what it says here in the 31st verse, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace.
Yes.
By faith. Now go to the first chapter of the book of Matthew.
Yes, sir. I don't know where you're going.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Jesus Christ, the Son of David. All right, now down to verse 5. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab.
Yes.
Now you notice, it don't mention nothing about being a harlot now.
Not now.
Not now. No, notice. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. Rahab became David's grandmother. Jesus' great-grandmother.
Glory.
Now, the point being,
yeah,
the harlot part, God can handle that.
Yes, sir.
Now, churchy people can't. Religious people can't. But God handle that.
God can handle that.
And the point of making sure you understand that it was Rahab the harlot that had faith in God.
Yeah.
And God had a plan for that woman. He moved her to Israel. He made her the mother of Israel. She's the grandmother of David and Jesus' great-grandmother. Oh, I'll tell you, man, look what he did. And her name is in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews.
Yes.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Now, God got a plan for you.
Yes, that's the message.
He's got a plan for you.
There's not one person outside of this plan that can't be used to the max.
Now, when you get to heaven, don't be going around and say, I want to meet Rahab the harlot. No, don't you be talking like that.
Not anymore.
No. Hey, that business died over there in Jericho.
Yes, it
that
did.
Harlot business died with the walls of Jericho.
Yes, it did.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah, glory be to Jesus.
That's how God's designed every one of us to live, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Outside of that past, whatever we were, whoever we've been.
Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, it says he delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God, lifted us up into heavenly places and made us sit with him in heaven.
Yes, he has. Qualified every single one of us.
And we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Man, these 5-minute broadcasting.
What's happened to this time?
Boy, it goes. Brother Dennis and I will be back in just a moment.
The Satisfied Life Package is your key to unlocking the joy-filled and fully satisfying life that God designed for you.
God sees us in the light of who He knows He can be in us, if we choose to believe Him and move in the direction He is telling us to go.
Writes Dennis Burke in The Satisfied Life. With over 33 years' experience as an author and Bible teacher, Dr. Burke clearly conveys God's heart towards His people. And his wife and fellow minister's book, Some Days You Dance, Vicki Burke writes from her own experience and biblical revelation, leading you on a journey to true freedom.
No matter what you may be facing right now, there's light on the other side, and Jesus will help you find it. No matter how imprisoned you feel, you too can get free.
Start your year off right and let these books help you get on the right road, the path to God's very best life for you. Get on the road to God's best life for you. Order the Satisfied Life Package today at a special savings for only $25.99. You'll receive The Satisfied Life by Dennis Burke and Some Days You Dance by Vicki Burke, two books that'll help you live the satisfied, joy-filled life God has designed for you. Order online at kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 for an additional 10% off. Order your package online.
The Satisfied Life. This new book by Dennis Burke and then the new book by Vicki. Some Days You Dance. Praise God, finding the way to freedom. I tell you, I've known Vicki for years and years and years, over 35 years, and I... And I got into this book, and I thought I knew Vicki until I got in here. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. What you, are today and what defines your life is not what you have become. People say, well, you know, I was just born this way. No, God has never caused anybody to be born something that He's already forbidden. You weren't born a thief. I mean, no, that's not what defines us is the Word of God. Yes. Hallelujah. He is my shepherd and I do not want. I have a satisfied life. And I'm not satisfied after I got a whole, I got a lot of stuff, but that's not what satisfies me. I was satisfied before I ever got the stuff, yeah. Man, because I learned what I had been made the righteousness of God. And now I am becoming stronger in that righteousness, becoming stronger in faith, becoming stronger in the things of the righteousness of God. Amen. Now, hey, you just need to get your hands on these books. Tomorrow starts a brand new year. It's time to go on higher with God. Glory to God. That's why this ministry is here. That's why Dennis and Vicki Burke's ministry is in this earth. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do, and that defines us. That's what we are, and that's who we are. So stand on the Word of God. Amen. Just take your place. Don't just make off-the-wall resolutions for the new year. Inquire of the Lord. Lord, how would you have me increase and grow this coming year? Amen. Well, God loves you and we love you. Happy New Year, everybody. And Jesus is Lord.
Build your faith and be transformed by the Word of God. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. Continue your studies with this week's product offer. Order your copy today and let these word-based teachings help you live in victory. Receive God's grace abounding toward you and live in the blessing. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2013 New Year's Eve service. Join Kenneth Copeland on December 31st at Eagle Mountain International Church in Newark, Texas. The 2014 Branson Victory Campaign, February 27th to March 1st with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2014 Southwest Believers Convention, June 30th through July 5th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas.